Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, June 15, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 45, the first paragraph that starts lack of power, through one paragraph ending, and how are we to find this power? Today's readers are 12 Steps, Karen W., 12 Traditions, Maureen B., readers of the text, Christina L., Jane S., and our backup today, Robin P., newcomer greeter, Felicia S., and second hour host, Hanayeta R. The reference number for the Sunday, June 14, 2026 meeting is 23549. That is 23549. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen W. from Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in our affairs. Happy to be of service. Pass.
Thanks, Karen. And I will now ask Maureen B. to read the 12 traditions. Morning, Maureen.
Yep. Good morning, everybody. This is Maureen B. from Michigan, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Maureen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 45, the first paragraph that starts lack of power through one paragraph ending, and how are we to find this power, commenting on this one paragraph. I will now ask Christina L. to begin reading. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Short paragraph, very powerful. You know, when I came into this program, just like so many other people had shared in the last week since we started this, that, you know, I felt that I could just skip ahead this chapter and step 2 and also step 3 and just start at step 4. I already believed in God. The problem was that I did not see all the things that were blocking me when I came in. And one of the first spiritual awakenings I had was when they told me that, or when you all told me, was that, you know, God doesn't care just about the wars in China, the wars that are being fought and the starving children in China, which was a message that I've been told all my life, you know, that I needed to eat my food because there were starving children in China. So there was a lot of calamity, a lot of superstitions that were keeping me from connecting to this power. And, you know, the last sentence is a question, but where and how are we to find this power? Which, you know, tomorrow's paragraph is going to tell us that's exactly what this book is about. I have found that I don't need to find this power, even though find to me is an action word. The only action that I need to be taking is to work the 12 steps, to put down the food, to find a sponsor and go through these steps and do the work, whatever it is that my sponsor tells me to do. And by that, you know, that I have found that power. The thing is, you know, the work is never done. And, you know, I have to continue finding this power, finding the things that are blocking me from this power. The ways that are keeping me in bondage to myself, which has been something that I'm seeing. I'm going through the steps again. I know I've mentioned that before, and I'm going through some really difficult things in my life that, at least they're difficult for me, with, relationships and stuff. And it's opened my eyes to a way that I never worked the steps before, in regards to the way that my disease manifests in me, with restricting. And I'm going through the steps again now and seeing just how much I've tried to rely on my own power to solve the problems that are in my life. But there is nothing that's going to solve that power other than this power that's greater than myself. I can't rely on my own human aid because it has failed me time after time after time. And I think that's all that I've got. So with that, I will pass, and I hope everyone has a great day. And I can't wait to hear all the shares because I love this paragraph.
Thanks, Christina. And so I'll now take a list of names for 3-minute shares. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any vision meeting, please hold back so we can get your friends in. So I'm ready.
Lisa Pedro B. South Carolina.
Mary Kay.
Okay. Robin P.
Okay, hold on. I got Lisa, Larry, Robin, and there was another gentleman in there after Lisa. Okay. So I have Lisa, Larry, Rob. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Pedro B.
Pedro. Okay, so I have Lisa, Pedro, Larry, Robin. Who else would like to share?
Jessica C.
Jessica, I got Jessica, and then who else was there?
Laurel B.
Laurel. Let's get some more names here. This is an amazing paragraph.
Vasa O.
Vasa.
Pauline M.
Pauline. Get two more for this round. Okay, we will go with this lineup. I've got Lisa B, Pedro B, Larry K, Robin P, Jessica C, Laurel B, Vasa O, and Colleen M. Lisa B, you are up.
Good morning, Janet. My name is Lisa B, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. Thank you for your service, and Christina, thank you for your lead and for everyone that's doing service. This is such an amazing paragraph, and I'm so thrilled to be in this chapter and going through it. The line that jumps out for me, a power by which we could live. And, you know, that is a very big line. It's much bigger than abstinence, and it has to be a power by which I can live through grief, fear, uncertainty, marriage, work, aging, and everything else that life brings. And that thought of that, it just, it's very, very, it's just a big, big line. And, you know, my sponsor and this fellowship really became the bridge to something greater than myself. It was through practicing these steps that I found the power that the book promises. And the result has been that God exists. I came in with a faith, but I just was blocked, and I didn't know that I was blocked. You know, they say you don't know what you don't know, and that I'm always stumbling over that. I continue to find what I didn't know. And another line that really speaks to me is, oh my gosh, I lost my train of thought. Oh, but where and how will we define this power? And that is through the 12 steps. God led me to the 12-step program, and the program led me right back to Him. You know, step 2 says we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And this book is really a textbook on spirituality. The 12 steps are the pathway through which I find and develop a relationship with that power, something greater than myself. And, you know, I really had to admit total defeat and powerlessness, that I was at the end of hope, that I really was finished with me. It was like And that was the beginning of hope. I had to step out of the way. I had to become broken enough to admit that I could not solve this myself. And when I finally called out to something greater than me, a space was created for a greater reality to enter my life. I continue to live in that reality, and it just, it's expanding and growing. I'm so thrilled to be abstinent, to be recovered, and to have a relationship with this greater reality. And I don't really know how else to describe it. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. And now we've got Pedro B. followed by Larry K. Morning, Pedro.
Good morning, Janet. Can I be heard?
Yep.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. My name is Pedro B. I am a grateful compulsive overeater. And, you know, this paragraph for me is one of the most important paragraphs in the book, because lack of power, that was the dilemma, that described my problem, right? But so, you know, the job to finding the power by which I can live, you know, it doesn't say by which I can eat or not eat, drink or not drink, you know. The problem is living in a manner that is the proper way to live. And, you know, like they say in here, we have to live in 10, 11, and 12. Continue, improve, and practice. So the steps, you know, oh, well, I work the steps, and I'm working the steps again. I need to work the steps on a daily basis. You know, it says on 12, you know, in all my affairs, you know, on a daily basis, a 24-hour-day program for me. I need to be honest in everything. I need to be loving and kind in everything. I need to have hope. I need to have to be base my life on the truth. You know, it's practice, practice, practice. So, and then lack of power is a dilemma. Lack of power is my dilemma, my problem, right? So I have to continue seeking. But, you know, it's just like in the beginning, it says we're 100 men and women that seem to have a disease that is incurable, that you know, cannot be overcome, right? But it only seems. The same thing with the power. I think the power is always been there. But there's things that are blocking me, yeah, my character defects that I built through my life that are blocking me from this power. So the power is there. It's a matter of finding it, right? Using it, utilizing. You know, it's not a matter of analyzing, but utilizing the steps. I think that's been out of me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Pedro. And now we've got Larry K. followed by Robin P. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Janet. This is Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thanks for your service. This boy, we've, you know, on this line, we hear this constantly, right? So here we are, you know, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. I'm not sure it was that obvious to me. I don't know about you, but... wasn't that obvious to me? See, I got here years ago, and everything prior to that was me asserting my own willpower for a long, long time. You know, by the time I got here, I had learned to assert my own willpower to accomplish things. And that's okay, you know, and in the context of this disease, old habits die hard. They do for me. See, I have to come to know the difference between what I can control and what I must surrender. I mean, we have the serenity prayer, right? That's at the core of that. You know, God, I believe God gave us the capacity to make autonomous, independent choices and take action. I'm walking right now. You know, I have agency. I can do things. And that's okay. God created me that way. There's no question in my mind about that. The thing is, the program teaches me to gracefully let go of the outcomes and the forces beyond my reach. And that's really tough. At least it has been for me. So embracing this notion of a lack of power was not an invitation to become a passive bystander in my recovery. It still isn't. And that's one of the paradoxes here with lack of power. But I'm not a passive bystander. If anything, it was really like an invitation to become an active participant by cooperating with God's will. And I don't always know what God's will is, right? How can I? I'm just a human being, just this guy here. But rather than being defiant, like a defiant obstacle to God's will. And as I work the steps, I learn more about distinguishing that. Questions, perhaps you get some questions. How do I know if it's my will or God's will? Well, God never knocked on my door and said, look, Larry, sit down at the kitchen table. I'll give you a list of what's yours and what's mine. No, but as we work the steps, we get better at this over time. And the question for me is I, on a daily basis, confront this idea of powerlessness is, can I allow myself to be an instrument of God's power? Can I do that? Sure, I can take some action. I can work these steps. I can do service for others. I can do all sorts of things, but many things, you know, I'm just going to need that power to flow through me. And the steps are just one way that I found that the power can flow through me. And I'm not swimming, thanks, Jen, I'm not swimming upstream anymore. I'm swimming downstream with God. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. And now we've got Robin P. followed by Jessica C. Morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Janet. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. Thank you for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. You know, I just love to share. Oh my gosh, just so helpful. You know, the lack of power, that was my dilemma. You know, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. So I had a power in my life, and it was food, and I worshipped it, and it failed me miserably. I went to food for everything. And to learn to turn my will and my life over to the care of God and praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out makes it so simple. And surrendering it. I always think of, you know, how I recover, being honest, open, and willing. You know, willing to believe that a power greater than myself is actually caring for me. And I grew up in so much trauma and the way a lot of people have. And, you know, I grew up, if there was a God and there was a Satan, it looked like Satan always won. And the scariest, most powerful person in the room won. And so I came in an atheist. That's the way I was raised. And, you know, I believe that this program was my bridge to God and my bridge to willingness to believe in a power greater than myself and my ego and my pride and my fear, the fear. And, you know, just to say that when I came into the rooms years ago and I saw at the Moravian Church in New York City, I saw God in the walls. I ran out of the room. I thought, oh, no, they've used another crutch instead of the food. And, you know, somebody said, just any power greater than your God, which is food, which doesn't work. And, you know, any positive power, just get on your knees in the morning and ask for help. And at the end of the day, say thank you. And, you know, I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety because this program was my bridge to that. And I definitely believe in God. And I have a relationship today. I'm still working on it every day. And, you know, I get to practice in things like, you know, we're moving to London and we're doing our best for a couple of years trying to find a home for these dogs we've been taking care of for a long time, for 3 years now from Costa Rica where we lived and who we love and adore. And wow, I have to keep growing spiritually. And whatever I focus on, you know, my thoughts and my words create my life. You know, if I'm focused on the fear, I just keep driving the truck down that scary road. Or I can focus on faith and keep walking that faith walk with God. It's my choice. You know, to catch me. Oh, yeah, and the 10th step and living in the
time.
Because thank you. Because my words and my thoughts matter. And that's a part of my willingness. So God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent day, and I pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin. And now we have Jessica C., followed by Laurel B. Morning, Jessica.
Hi, Janet. Good morning. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, Janet, and thank you so much for all the great shares. I guess I just wanted to kind of pause for a minute on lack of power and what that means for me as a compulsive overeater, what that means when I'm in my disease. And it means that even though the thing that I want most in the world is to have a slim body, to be able to fit into a certain size, to have like a dating life, to not be ashamed of my body, I just couldn't stop eating in a way that prevented all of that. I remember growing up just worshiping celebrities and supermodels and my friends who were thin and just wanting that so much, but yet I could not stop overeating, which caused me to become overweight. I remember living with my brother, we were roommates, and asking him to hide the cookies, hide them from me so that I wouldn't find them and eat them all. And I would still find them. I would still find the cookies and eat them all. I remember living on my own and sitting in the living room and knowing that there was something I really wanted to eat in the fridge and just making all these resolutions that I wouldn't eat it until it was appropriate to eat it. And I just felt like there was this force pulling me towards the fridge, even though I really, really didn't want to, I also couldn't stop myself. So all of my human resources, all of my desires to be a certain weight, to have a certain life, it was of no use against this disease of compulsive eating. And for me, it eventually got to the point where I was what I would describe as a blackout eater. It progressed beyond overeating and causing myself to be overweight and look different. It progressed to the point where I would wake up in the middle of the night with a food craving and go to the all-night convenience store and spend a ton of money on food at the convenience store, which is really expensive. Eat compulsively. My cravings would wake me up at night. And then I would put myself into a blackout through a food coma. So that was my dilemma. And I absolutely needed a power. Oh, so with a problem like that, with a problem of that depth, I needed a power greater than myself. And I'm glad that I found it through the steps, through this program, through the steps and through God. I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Jessica. And now we have Laurel B., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning, Janet. I'm Laurel, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago, Illinois. I took a look at this paragraph, and it was powerful for me because some people, myself included, I struggled with the idea of a higher power helping me with this disease. But when I looked at my fellows and observed the change in them, it reinforced my belief in a higher power. And my higher power needs to be the God of the universe. This God must be all-powerful, and not only can he help me, but wants to help me. He cares about me. He's strong. He's intelligent. And that's how I look at God, and that's how I'm being helped. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Laurel. And now we've got Vasa O, then Colleen M, and then I will take some more names. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive, overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And this is an amazing paragraph. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. And this was the best news I ever heard. because I've been trying to control the food addiction for so many years. And I didn't even know it was food addiction. I didn't know anything about the allergy of the body, the obsession. And I had it all for all those years. And I tried all the power exerted and to no avail. I just gave into the food. And I said, I'm just going to die fat and miserable. And yes, I was obsessed. You know, I had the body image, always looking through catalogs, lusting over these beautiful women with their bodies and bathing suits and beautiful clothes. And yeah, did that for many, many, many years. And I, again, this was my last hope. And I said to my sponsor, if I find a power greater than myself that's going to do it, she said, yes. And I was ready and willing. I said, whatever it takes, I will be happy to find the willpower. And she said, yeah, we just have to surrender and then throw ourselves in the 12 steps. And I had done step one, two, and three right at the beginning. You know, that was the beginning of my new life, to surrender in a power greater than myself. And I did have that connection. It is by the grace of God, whatever you want to call them, higher power, God, Jesus Christ, it was all good. And that was the beginning. You know, that was the beginning. I wanted to eat the next day. And I made that commitment to her and myself and my higher power. I was going to stick with my abstinence no matter what. I will recoil like from the flame. It would burn me if I go back to those alcoholic foods. It was not easy. Believe me, I was going through the withdrawals. I wanted to cry and look for my drug. And I heard it's more powerful than cocaine. I had no clue about that. But I said, yeah, it is powerful because I cannot just have only one any longer, two or three. I had that experience, no more. So I was ready to surrender, and it is by the grace of God I got that power one day at a time. And also my life, but it started with the food addiction. Well, how am I going to do life now being abstinent? Well, the steps are right. Thank you. The steps are there to show me. Thanks, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. And Colleen M., you are up. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service and everybody that's doing service on the line. This is Colleen M. from Maryland, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. Lack of power, that is my dilemma. That is still my dilemma. I don't have power over most things in my life. And when I got here, this is the last thing that I wanted to turn over, was I wanted it so desperately to be in my control, because I had tried the religious thing and found it not to work. And I wanted no parts of God. And it hurts me to say that out loud today. And it took a couple years of being abstinent and working this program to become willing to put down my ego and my pride and my and to surrender to something that I didn't understand and I didn't trust. And what I didn't understand and what I learned from the people in this room who had been gone before me was that I had a lot of agnostic beliefs about this higher power that I, you know, convinced myself wasn't going to help me, didn't care about me. What happened was I wanted to run the universe, and God doesn't work that way. I had to submit myself. One of the things I hear all the time is, I don't understand God, but I stand under God. And that's what I try to do today. I humbly come to my power that is greater than me. And I don't know how it happened. I just had a little bit of willingness, just a tiny bit of willingness to be willing to look at things differently. And my higher power did the rest. And the next paragraph tells us that this is the whole point of this book, is to help us get to that power. And I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be there today. that I have a power in my life today that I know loves me, I know cares about me, and I want to turn my will and life over to. I want to live my life to please my higher power. And it's much better than living my life to please myself, I can tell you. So I'm going to keep coming back because, like I said, every day I have this dilemma that I have no power and I need to come here to plug into the power and I need to go to God to plug into the power. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Colleen. And let me tell y'all where we are and I will take some more names. We are on page 45. The first paragraph that starts lack of power, that was our dilemma, and ends with, but where and how are we to find this power? And we've got time. I can take about six or seven more names. So who would like
Jennifer
to share?
Jennifer G., California.
Kathy R.
Kelly A. North Carolina.
Okay, we have Hold on. I got Jennifer G., A., then Kelly H.
Lynn F.
Lynn
F. Karen K. Mississippi.
Lisa B. T.
Monica. Karen, and then Lisa B. T. If we have time, and if I miss anyone, my apologies, but there is a whole second hour. So Jennifer G., you are up.
Hi, I'm Jennifer G. in California, recovered compulsive overeater. And at this point in my story, I needed to know there was a power greater than myself, and most importantly, it wasn't me. So I came in, I thought I was sitting at the same level at God. Had a lot of religion, had a lot of knowledge, and my life, I was in complete desperation. I too had tried everything. It's always interesting to me to go over my story over and over again as to everything that I had tried and failed. And I really didn't get here until I was 69 years old, and I'm 73 now. And this has been a really great journey. So knowing that I wasn't God and the people around me, I saw myself the matriarch in the family. I had to tell everybody what to do, constantly giving advice. Couldn't run my own life, but I wanted to run theirs. Specifically to Overeaters Anonymous, I really admitted in step one I had this disease, which was like so critical for me. I just did that in March, and I've been here 3 years. But it took what it took. So with that understanding, I knew I had this disease. I was in complete desperation. I also knew that in the next step that everything I had tried didn't work. Everything. I didn't have an answer here. But I knew that you all did. And for the first time in my life, I knew there was a solution to my compulsive overeating and possibly that it would work for me too. And so trying everything, the trust, what ended up happening for me in these steps, these early steps, is I put my trust in the process. It wasn't about, for me, where God has been in my life and the relationship I've had with him and how I've used him, none of that. I didn't try and analyze it. All I did was I put my trust in this process. I turned to sponsors. I've had more than several recovered sponsors that have taken me through these steps and guided me through these steps, just like they've gone through these steps. And all I had to do at this point was be willing to know I'm not God. There is a higher power. I'm not my higher power. There is a higher power. And thank you. And I had to trust. I had to put my trust in the sponsors and do everything that they were telling me to do. And that's how my higher power has worked. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jennifer. And now we have Kathy. I think it's Kathy C. And then Kelly H. Good morning, Kathy. be star one. Okay. Ms. Hurd.
Kathy R.
Kathy R. That's you. Yep. Go ahead,
oh,
Kathy.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I didn't think I got in on that. Thank you. Great shares, everybody. This power, I just wanted to talk about what it looks like now, like on a daily basis in my life. That it, you know, I always want like something dramatic, like some sign or something. But, you know, through program, I realized that it doesn't have to look dramatic in my daily life. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, having compassion, like that just kind of comes out of nowhere when I see something, or, you know, pausing before, having that pause before a compulsive behavior, whether it's food related or not. Or, you know, asking for help and accepting direction, helping someone at the supermarket, you know, somebody who needs something from a top shelf, or, you know, maybe someone who's lost out in the parking lot, like just stopping and pausing and living in the moment. The other things are like maybe, you know, telling the truth instead of people pleasing, you know, giving, you know, saying no or not saying yes when I really mean no, and also staying abstinent one day at a time. And these little victories, they add up, you know, and they just remind me that I don't ever have to do this alone and that God's always with me. Like, it's just such a presence, and it's just so reassuring that we have that presence every day if we access it. And I have this little sign in my house that says, and I love it, it says, prayer is the world's greatest wireless connection. And that's, you know, how I finally was able to get close to God, was just by spending time, just like I would with a regular friend, you know. So that's all I have. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. And next we have Kelly H., followed by Lynn S. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina, compulsive overeater, and actively working on step three. Headed to step four, woo, again and again and again. I love the term lack of power. This does speak to my food, but I had a funny experience this past week. Enjoying a full season of volunteer service. I had to get labs done and listening to my sons talk about career, my adult sons talk about their different career education issues. And I was so tired one night listening to my husband, who's an airline pilot and is away. And we do a lot of, we just do an end of day talk when he's on the ground. And I was falling asleep. And all of a sudden he starts talking about how this one airplane he was starting out on had a lack of power. And my ears just went, what? And my spirit just immediately woke up. And I was listening to him to talk about, at least on a complicated, you know, human creation of an airplane, talk about what happens when there's a lack of power when the plane gets started. And he's talking about all the technical and engineering type stuff that my background does not speak to. But as he was talking about it, I really sensed God was saying, listen up to what is happening. This lack of power caused all kinds of situations that signaled that something was not right, and that the battery on the aircraft was completely depleting faster than it should have. All of these complicated lights would come on. And of course, this aircraft is on the ground without passengers on it at this point. But all of that to say is I am much more complicated than an aircraft. I was created as the apple of my creator's eye, like as I believe we all are. But what struck out is that while there's a lot of latitude, mercy, and grace for those of us who get caught in those busy seasons, oftentimes doing great active voluntary type things, or you have big important jobs. My battery, my spiritual battery was just getting depleted. And it was like the lights are on. I have insomnia. I'm having the food cravings. I'm having complications with certain relationships. And so some of these other lights were kind of coming on during this past month. And hearing him talk about something ordinary in his life, in his day, in his work day, was a good signal to me to get back to God. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. And now we have Lynn S., followed by Monica.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, Vision.
Lynn.
My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Excuse me. And the solemnness of this little paragraph is really touching me this morning. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, by which I could live. We're not even talking about putting the food down anymore. We're way past that, you know, in my desperation and in my misery and in just trying to live life. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And that was an incredible dilemma. It was misery and I don't know what else to call it. It was just miserable. I was miserable. Life wasn't worth living. And here we're talking now. You know, of course, we've tried everything with the food and the doctors and then this, that, and the other thing. And we tried that for living problems, too. And nothing worked for me. Nothing. And I had to find a power by which I could live. And that is standing out so much to me now. There was going to be no life for me. There just wasn't, because I couldn't go on the way I was. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, greater than me, greater than anything I had tried before. There was no human aid that could help me. It's just really speaking to me right now in how grateful I am, how lucky I am. You know, where am I going to find this thing? Who knew? Who knew? But God knew, and God channeled this book through Bill W. because he saw us, his children, and he said, they need a way out. They need a way to connect to me, and this is it. I am so grateful to this program and this book and this way of life that has given me a way to connect to God so that I can live and flourish. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. And Monica, you are up. If you can give us the first letter of your last name and where you're from, that would be awesome.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. This is Monica T. I live in Florida, but presently I'm in Vermont. So here we are, gang. We're in the chapter 4, We Agnostics. You know, and I've my little subtitle, We, without A-G, without Gnostic knowledge. You know, I'm missing something when I came here, obviously. And lack of power. There's a short little step one. That's my problem. That was our dilemma, and dilemma, problem, difficulty. They're telling me that's my difficulty, my dilemma. We had to find a power, so this is step two here. They're leaning us into that idea by which we could live. And it doesn't say by which we could quit our addiction. It says by which I could live. You know, all my life I was trying to quit this addiction. I was trying to figure out how to eat what I wanted and get skinny and stay skinny. And it didn't work. And it had to be. And notice here we got that squiggly writing that Joe and Charlie talk about. And whenever you see that in a big book, it is important. A power greater than my ourselves. Obviously, one word sentence, obviously. Duh, it's obvious to them, but it isn't to me. But they're looking back. They've been through this. They're going to share with us how. But where and how were we to find this power? Notice this is a question. And I'm going to give you all a little spoiler alert here. It's going to take us 10 pages before they're going to answer this. But we are going to find the answer on page 55, paragraphs 3 and 4. But there's got a lot of reviewing for us before we get to the answer on this problem, this power. Where is it? How am I going to find it? Do I really need a power? All this stuff that I still have to work through. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Monica. And then we have Karen K, followed by Lisa BT. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. My name's Karen Kay. I'm in Mississippi, and I really like this little teeny tiny paragraph. Wow. The lack of power. So I found the power. I actually had a higher power when I got here. I just wasn't willing to turn over my food. And I didn't believe he would help me with my food. But then I got it. Like, I surrendered and he helped me. And then, you know, what happened was I took my will back. And what happened was I had turned my to-do list into my higher power. And, that doesn't work. Like, now I have a to-do list, but then I turned that over to my higher power and have him guide me through my to-do list, you know, what really needs to happen today. And if it doesn't all get done, there's usually a reason, God's will got in there and rearranged my schedule. And, sometimes it is what it is. And, you know, we just keep going and keep trying, but we gotta focus on God's will every day and let him guide us and not let our to-do list be our guide and have guilt and shame over those things that don't necessarily get done every single day. So that's where I'm at today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Karen. And our last share will be Lisa BT. Lisa, good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa BT, recovered in Ontario, Canada. Thanks so much for all who make this meeting possible and including all those just coming on the line. I really, really wanted to share because I started my day with the gift of some step 11 time. And I can't believe how much that means to me now, that time in which I really can work on conscious contact with my higher power. I've been in the program about 20 years, and I have been extremely resistant to anything other than self-reliance. God-reliance, yeah, maybe sometimes, yeah, okay, but when it really comes to it, it's down to me, was how I've been operating many, many decades in my life. I was given the gift of coming to program. I see it as an absolute gift. And now as I approach 70, a whole new level of how I am not in charge of life has become aging. When I was younger, it was to be slim, it was to be whatever. It didn't occur to me that aging was going to happen. I'm fortunate to be, you know, generally okay, but I did have, my family refers to it as the check engine light came on a couple of years ago with a few issues. And, I am finding that this is something that I am not going to be able to, through self-reliance, overcome. it just isn't how it is. And I also volunteer over the years in hospices. And what I found there was this tremendous life force, even at the end of life, that it isn't about length of life. It really is about each moment being informed by a force that is not me, not us. It is something greater. And I'm very grateful to have come to that awareness, even though I don't like aging. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. And thank you to everyone who read and shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately follow closing. The Sarah D for today's meeting, June 15th, 2026, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23,550. 23550. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jane S., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I would be honored. Thank you, Janet, and everyone for your shares and your service. My name is Jane, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.